Singing as we journey. Who likes a nice song? Good. I was looking around at your faces as we were singing as we journey, and I'm going to check up on you later again. See if we can get some smiles as well. Now, you might like singing, but how many of us like a nice, juicy bit of gossip? Kind of makes the week, doesn't it? A nice juicy bit of gossip. But I won't ask you to put your hands up, because it kind of has sort of certain stereotypical things attached to gossips. But why does gossip work so well? Why does gossip work so well? Getting information that we don't have. It makes us, so the conveyor of the gossip, you're saying, makes us feel better than the person that we're talking about. Okay. We know we shouldn't. Oh, really? So there's difference between gossip and news, then. Yes, yes. All of a sudden, none of us are gossips. We're just conveyors of news. Why does gossip work so well? Well, you've given some interesting points there, and I want to add to those points that maybe gossip works so well because, to some degree or another, we trust the person that is the conveyor of the news. We must trust them. Otherwise, we'd kind of think to ourselves, well, they always tell a load of rubbish, and it's all lies, and no element of truth in it whatsoever. But actually, gossip works because we give some element of trust to that person that is the conveyor of the news. I came across a bit of statistical information that, according to some research, never heard of this research company, it doesn't matter, I suppose, but they are purporting to claim that 92% of people trust recommendations from family and friends more than any other form of marketing. I was a little bit surprised. I figured that it would be quite high, but this market research seemed to suggest 92% of people trust what their family and friends say, even beyond what the claims of the advertising set claims and purports. So there is some value, isn't there, in putting our trust in someone and the information that they're giving us, and you know, we're more likely to believe someone that we know than just some advertising billboard, newspaper, magazine thing. There's some element of reality, tangibility, faith and trust in that person that we're willing to take what they say, believe it as true, and apply it to our lives, even if it's just buying a product. Adam and Eve seemingly didn't get off to a good start, did they? My reading of it, and we're not told everything of everyone's life in our characters in the Bible, but here we have Adam and Eve. They're told what they can do and one thing that they can't do. What happens? Well, it seems as though, without kind of doing a whole sermon on Adam and Eve, it seems as though they were both there round nearby the tree, and they're having this discussion, seemingly with a serpent as well, and they look at this fruit and think, actually, I know God said this, But this seems like a juicy bit of gossip. Let's take this and eat it. And, oh, husband, this is delicious. Why don't you have some? And almost immediately they realize that, uh-oh, we've made a mistake. We really have made a mistake. We've done something that God told us not to do. We've messed up. And they try and cover up their mistake. But when God appears to them, they kind of hide in the bushes and, oh Lord, is that you? Oh, right. Sorry, God, we're just a little bit embarrassed this evening because we realize that we're naked. God says, who told you were naked? From then on, starts a chain reaction that God then has to banish them from a garden. But they leave that garden with God's provision of covering, not their own, not their fig leaves, but God gives them skins to cover their nakedness. But they leave that garden knowing from what God has promised them that there will be a solution to the sin problem that now separates them from God. And they're hopeful. They're really hopeful. Maybe because we haven't died yet and we didn't die immediately when we ate that fruit. Maybe God will provide in our lifetime. So let's tell our children and let's tell our children's children and let's tell our children's children's children. And maybe somewhere along the line, God is going to provide this person, God's going to sort it out. So what is it that Adam and Eve have to do? They have to tell people that God has a plan to sort everything out and to make everything right again. There's no one else to tell their children, is there? It's just Adam and Eve. No one else on the earth. Who else is going to tell their children? So there becomes a parental responsibility to tell their children, look, we're really sorry, but we messed up. But don't worry, kids. God's going to sort it out. I'll talk to you another time about the family problems that occurred afterwards, and Cain and Abel, and maybe seemingly they didn't do too well starting off as parents. But Adam and Eve knew that their mission and their purpose in life was to share with their subsequent generations the good news that God's going to sort it all out. What about Noah? Did he do much better? Did he have the same mission? There's a few nods of the head. I am assuming that that isn't the temperature of the room and the drone of the speaker. Did Noah have the same mission as Adam and Eve, to tell and share? So Noah had the same mission to tell his neighbors, to tell his family, that don't worry, things are messed up, but God's going to sort it out. And how was God going to sort it out in Noah's day? Yeah, there was going to be this flood. Really, Noah? A flood, Noah? Really, really? And what's going to happen, Noah? A boat. What's a boat, Noah? A boat. You're going to float in a boat. Okay, Noah. Keep taking the medication, Noah. Don't worry about it. How long did Noah tell people that don't worry, God's going to sort it out? 120 years. I'd be glad to live that long. But anyway, to preach and preach and preach. I hope this isn't going to be my experience here. Preaching for 120 years and no one listens. He preached and preached and told people for 120 years. And who got on the boat? How many people? eight people, just his family. And if you keep reading, even that didn't work out well, and there were some bad eggs in that batch as well. Adam and Eve realized that what they needed to do is share the good news that, don't worry, God's going to sort it out. Noah, a few generations on, was told by God, tell people, don't worry, I'm going to sort it out. Though people didn't listen to Noah, did that stop him? He still preached. And we have Abraham. Abraham, as he was first known and was told, look, leave this area, go with your family to a place that I'm going to show you. And he went there with his other extended family and so on. He was able to share with his family, seemingly, about, don't worry, God's going to sort it out. But not all of his extended family. Lot didn't really catch on. Lot didn't really share with his family, don't worry, God's going to sort it out. And there was all sorts of a mess. But Abraham, despite his shortfalls, still found opportunity and had the intent of sharing with his family, don't worry, God's going to sort it out. Joseph. What about Joseph with his flashy coat? Did he have the same kind of idea and concept of sharing his faith and mission as these other predecessors? What do we know about Joseph? Smart little upstart. Come round here telling me what I'm going to do to you. I'm your big brother. I'm not going to bow down to you. Don't talk to me like that, little squirt. Go on, play with the animals. The brothers didn't really respect him very much, did they? And maybe, depends if it's the way that I read it, but maybe he deserved it. But maybe he didn't. What he didn't deserve, like none of us deserve, is to be badly treated by others, especially our family. But there was Joseph, thrown in a pit, sold off as a slave. Is he willing to share his faith? Well, why would he? Last time I spoke here, we talked about David, didn't we? You know, why would he want to sing God's praises? Things really weren't very good for David. Things weren't very good for Joseph. Taken away from his family, sold in as a slave. He ends up working for a nice, well-to-do family, and all of a sudden, the lady of the house comes on to him and lies, and no one believes him. He's found himself thrown into prison. Is he going to keep quiet? It would be very easy for him just to barely maintain his faith. To struggle with God, but you know what, God, things really aren't very good for me at the moment. So I'm sorry, God, but I don't feel like sharing my faith with other people. I don't feel like carrying on this concept of being a missionary to share and to witness. It would be very easy for Joseph to feel like that. But even in prison, Joseph expresses his faith. Doesn't get him anywhere immediately, but later on, people remember, oh yeah, I know a guy who might be able to solve your mystery of your dream. Through Joseph's willingness to share his faith in prison, at the bad times, it's kind of like a job interview for him. Because he ends up looking after a whole nation. Joseph was willing to witness. He realized that was his mission, just like everyone else. But don't worry, things are a mess, but God's going to sort it all out. Well, there's all sorts of other characters we could keep listing and be here till tomorrow. Moses, well, his mother realized that her mission was to teach her little baby son, who was given back to her, that, look, things are a bit of a mess, but don't worry. God's got a plan and he's going to sort it all out. And then as Moses grows up, he learns about leadership and coordination and logistics from where he was living there in the Pharaoh's palace. But it took another 40 years out in the desert for God to break down this whole self-ambition that he had, for him to realize that it's not in his own human strength and wisdom that he can achieve anything, but it's in God's. Then Moses goes out and accepts the mission from God. Okay, I'm going to take these people. I'm going to let these people know that things are pretty messed up at the moment. But don't worry, God's got a plan. Lots of other people. I won't list all of them, but Jonah and Jesus and the women at the tomb, they hear something and then they rush off to tell other people, despite their situation, despite their circumstances. Jesus gave that commission that we read in the in our scripture reading in Matthew 28. It's a fascinating end of a book. We'll come back to it in a minute. So if you're looking for it, if you can find it, keep your finger there. I'm going to finish tonight. But Jesus saying, look, in your going, all authority has been given to me. And if you say that you're a follower of me and you're a God follower, then this is what I want you to do. Therefore, go. It's not normally very well translated. This is what's called in the Greek language. This is where you can really turn off. You think, oh, the pastor lost me now. But it's in the what's called the present continuous tense. So it means more dynamically, in your going, as you go about your daily business. That's what Jesus is saying. It's not a command to go, but he's saying, as you go. As you go about your business, make disciples. Be a missionary. Share your faith. Baptize people. And continue to teach them. It's very easy to Jesus to say to those disciples, eh? I mean, they've had some training, haven't they? They should know better, shouldn't they? There's all sorts of characters through Scripture that, what if they didn't speak up and speak out? What if they didn't let other people know that, look, things are pretty messed up, but don't worry, God's got a plan. He's going to sort it all out. What if Stephen, before the Sanhedrin, what if he kind of excused himself and, oh, sorry, guys, I didn't really mean to offend you, and I'll just go away and be quiet now. As even Stephen spoke up, because he knew that this was his mission, this was what was part of his life now, and he couldn't keep quiet. That, yes, things are messed up, but, yes, God has got a plan to sort it all out. Maybe the Sanhedrin felt a little bit persecuted by his comments. And maybe Stephen already knew that where it was going to end up. And it ended up him losing his life. But him losing his life through his willingness to witness, he knew that this was his mission in life now, to share my faith. There in the crowd was Saul, a witness. Saul, who later became known as Paul. Imagine if Stephen hadn't given that missionary witness. Half the New Testament may not be written. From Bible times, throughout the last couple of thousand years, there's all sorts of stories that we can reference about people willing to accept the mission that they have of when they accept Jesus Christ. I need to not be a selfish Christian. That's very easy, to keep it to myself and keep quiet. But to speak up and speak out, that yes, things are pretty messed up, but don't worry, God's got a plan, and he's going to sort it all out. I wonder about our lives now. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verses 14 and 15, it talks about the love of Christ compels us. But does it? When we wake up in the morning, do we think, the love of Christ compels me? What it is that I need to do today is to get up and tell people, look, this world is pretty messed up, but don't worry. God's got a plan. He's going to sort it all out. Do we start the day like that? Or is it easy just to sort of maintain our faith? Keep quiet. Do the right thing. You know, being good is kind of Christian, isn't it? But we never actually take on that mission of sharing our faith with others. I used to come along to church, and I would hear from people from time to time. When I was your age, I could hear people say, "Oh, you need to concentrate on Jesus and all this other stuff in the world. Nothing you can take with you to heaven." I used to think, "Wow, yeah, oh yeah, that's right. Nothing I can take to heaven. It's all important." Until, not that I didn't realize it, but until I heard one day one preacher say, the only thing that you can take to heaven is people. That's quite different, isn't it? That's different from saying that you can't take anything to heaven, but actually you can. But the only thing that you can take to heaven is people. So where is our concentration? Where do we focus our lives? Where do we get up in the morning and think, God, who can I share my faith with? Who is it that God wants me to talk to today and express about my faith? But it's easier to just maintain our faith and keep quiet, though, isn't it? Rather than gossiping the gospel. It's easier to keep quiet because if I invite them along to church, they're going to have to meet that person. And then that would be a bit embarrassing. And if I tell them about faith, they might ask me a difficult question. And what if I haven't got the answer? And I really don't know if this is something that is for me. It is really for the preacher, isn't it? It's really for other people that are more eloquent than I am to be able to talk and share their faith. The only thing that you can take to heaven is people. So what people are around us that God wants us to say? This world is messed up. But don't worry. God's got a plan, and he's going to sort it all out. If we look to ourselves and our own inabilities, it's going to stop us every day. But if we look to what Jesus asks us to do, in your going about of your daily business, make disciples. Tell people about me. But Jesus, Nathan, I still don't feel very good about this. Get your Bibles open again. I'll finish with this reading of this text. Get your Bibles open to Matthew 28 again. Look it up. Don't believe it just because I say it. Look it up for yourself. Instead of reading from verse 18, let's read from verse 16. Matthew 28, verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. His followers went to Jesus. And then what does it say? When they saw him, they worshipped him. Well, why wouldn't they? after what has just happened. And bit by bit, they're realizing, yes, the world is messed up, but God's got a plan and Jesus is sorting it out. But in my translation, there's three more words. What does it say in yours? But some doubted. But some doubted. They came, they worshipped Jesus, but some doubted. But even to those doubters, even to those people that were thinking, I don't know if this is me. I don't get it all. I don't think that I have all the answers. I'm a doubter. Jesus still said to the doubters, in your going, tell people about me and make disciples. Baptize them and keep teaching them, because God's got a plan. The world is messed up. God's got a plan, and he's going to sort it all out.
Thank you, Pastor Nathan. And Nathan has chosen as our song of commitment a hymn which expresses that thought. Take the name of Jesus with you. Take it wherever you go. Number 718 in the New Advent Hymnal.
Our Father in heaven, we look around ourselves and we see, maybe even in our families, in our streets, where we work, where we study, We see on the news, we hear the comments people make that this world is messed up. This world is not as you intended it to be. And it would be easy to just give up. But Lord, we know that from your promises, though this world is messed up, you have a plan, that you've worked it out, and that one day, through our faithfulness in you, that when you return, you'll sort it out and you'll make all things new. Lord, we thank you for this promise. In the meantime, we need to live our lives day by day. We ask for your forgiveness where we have been hesitant, reluctant, happy just to maintain our faith just by ourselves. Lord, instead, give us the interest, the enthusiasm, dare us to be bold for you as we realize that everything around us, that it's going to stay here, it's going to come to an end, that there is nothing that we can take to heaven except people. Lord, who is it that you want us to speak to? Who is it that you want us to share our faith with? Would you wake us up tomorrow and every day this week with the compelling love of Jesus for us to look around and dare ourselves to share about the precious name of Jesus, to take you wherever we go, that throughout our journey we may not be hesitant, but we may be enthusiastic about sharing our faith in you. For this we ask in the name of Jesus.